afternoon. But I need to appointment. So that we could have everybody. When you put him to our own. The report is in front of us. That all are getting ourselves to do. To really give you the report. Give you one aspect. Is there anything that you want to say about the report before I take from it? I hope everything is done now.
Chair, if you just open by saying, by thanking Mayor Bolia and the Secretary for the work that she's done on the report. I'm quite satisfied with the report which I've read carefully over the weekend and which Mandy Bolia and myself worked on. I just want to be clear that is it the intention that, that this report reflects the views of the committee, or is it, does the report reflect the aggregate views of the committee? For example, I'm satisfied that this report reflects the aggregate views of the committee. All the points that, that we've raised have been included in this report, and I think that the job that Mandy Bali has done fairly reflects that. But I don't agree with every single clause in the report, and I was wondering whether we couldn't cover that by adding a clause that this represents the aggregate views of the committee, not necessarily the views of each member of the committee. Is that the intention?
Let me open that up to the committee. It is not be my issue. The issue of the committee must express its own view. What do they think? Should the report reflect what? And then Mandy will guide us talk about what does Parliament expect.
Okay.
I'll start with Mandy. About the report.
I quite agree with what you said. With the report, I think work well done. With regard to your question, I think it's actually a given that, that any report of any committee normally represents the average view of the committee. The aggregate view.
I'm satisfied that the report includes everybody's view. So could I propose, therefore, Chair, that we just include that clause of that nature?
As I said, another point, I want to check with the members. We'll end up being myself and yourself. The committee must be reflective of the view of all the members. Is that what we are agreeing on, members? That this is the aggregate view of the committee.
Under normal circumstances, committee chairperson,
yeah.
When a report is made to Parliament, it is a report of the committee as far as we've been working. It's a report of the committee. There may be small differences here and there, but on the whole, we say this is the report of the portfolio committee on this matter. So, I do not remember in any of the committees to which I belonged before where you find some sort of a minority report. We say this is the report of the majority members of the portfolio committee, but there is also a minority view. I don't remember such a thing, because in a report of the committee, We normally try to accommodate everybody's view, you see, in a report of this nature. And I think Mandy has captured correctly the report of the majority members of the committee. I don't know where you disagree with this committee, which part in particular you don't agree with.
I think we are just dealing with the report.
Yes.
The question that was coming from one member of the committee, he wanted an insertion the aggregate report of the committee, which means not the whole report. Whether time to write that much. That should be right aggregate report of the committee or to do the full report.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. Well, I don't know what will be the situation in this new environment, but I have a long as I'm learning to say in a report like this, all parties have a new way of saying it. They don't want to vote for the report or for the report.
Mm.
There is no minority report. Mm. And secondly, it can't be accepted. It's the report of the whole committee. Then you can disagree or agree with it, or don't vote in it at the end of the day.
Yes.
That's the only way that it's there. But you can't say there is a minority and a majority report. It has to be a report
of the committee.
Which because the report should be focusing on what has happened from public hearing to the budget and so on and so forth. And the consultation between the department and stakeholders and so on and so forth. Then if there is that agreement, then you see that you can't take a position on the matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to that political party saying, no, I don't want to take a decision now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reserving my decision for my party to take a decision. But you can't separate it.
Yeah.
I think we'll be talking from an experience level.
A veteran.
A veteran. I don't want to get some of it. I'll give it over to you, member, to put your case there.
Okay. Chair, I then conclude from our discussion that this report then must represent the view of the committee.
Yes.
In view of that, could I refer members to paragraph 422 of the report, where we deal with the thorny issue of transformation.
What I was saying is I wanted to give him a just to motivate
to him. Oh, okay.
So that you can all, as you have said, that at least it will understand why he's
doing okay.
It.
No, that's
initially, it was more to work on a principle.
Okay.
Of, so that it could be all clear about what is the issue. So what is now? It's more just to get what is it all. You should understand so that you can give it.
Okay, sure.
422, yes.
I'd like to associate myself strongly with the vision in the Constitution and our party's vision that we have a diverse defence force, but I would not want to be seen to associate myself with the concept of representativity. And so, let me reiterate, I absolutely associate myself and my party with the vision that we have a diverse defence force. And I'd like, in view of that, to just propose a small amendment to paragraph 422, which then would read, committee questions the pace and quality of the transformation of the SANDF into an appropriately skilled and diverse defence force. I would hope that would capture the view of the committee that we do need a diverse defence force. But I would be cautious about associating myself with the concept of representativity. There is a fundamental difference between the two.
Can you give the report? There is it. It's more a question of principle, diverse, more than using the word representativity. You say it's the quality of the transformation of the carried out in attendance?
Yes, I would just propose an amendment. The first sentence would read, the committee questions the pace and quality of the transformation of the SANDF into an appropriately skilled and diverse defence force. And that, I think, could easily be read as diverse in terms of race and gender.
And the right particular representativity.
I mean, I would argue that the difference is fundamental. I mean, if one subscribes to a policy of representativity, then one would argue, for example, that of 10 pilots, for example, the various race groups must be represented in proportion to their representation of the population. I do not associate myself with that view, and I don't think that most members of the committee associate themselves with that view.
No, let us conclude for member. Let's talk from the point of view so that I can understand what members are saying. You are raising that as an objection. And then now maybe then take different views from others and then see how we start.
Sure. As for the honorable member was saying that is sentence number 5. Regarding the racial and gender identity, in which case I would agree that yes, we can fight the identity. But now, if we are going to take out gender and the democratic, and the democratic simply meaning the racial, well, I think we would be deluding and deceiving ourselves. Because we know that we are from a very painful past where race was used as an instrument to further the interests of one group and to hinder the interests of another. And as part of transformation, I think that could be carried out in one second term. And we know that women under the previous a form of government, you know, where every 3 years or all oppressive laws. So now, I don't think we should be apologetic about the gender and the race and composition. And I think really we have even melody so that we don't want to be seen to be, you know, racist, that democratically, you know, they represented. Thanks.
I don't know, Chairperson, what the honorable members means by saying skilled and diverse. I don't know what he means by diverse in this case, because here we are talking of transformation. We are talking of transformation. And the report says, if I understand it correctly, we would like, I think I agree with Mr. Pasher, we would like to see transformation taking place in all departments, whether it be SANDF or be in public service or whatever. We want to see all population groups simply be represented, whether they are men, female, or whatever, but we want to see every population group represented in whatever department it is, whether it's ANDF or whatever, whether it's in the Air Force or what. We want to see all population groups represented, irrespective of gender. I think that's how I understand it. And that is what we mean by transformation. So you're appropriately skilled and diverse. I don't know what you mean by diverse there. But what we are saying is we just see every population group represented everywhere. And to us, that will be transformation.
Can I give it that info?
I think, Chairperson, this sentence, when I'm trying to say into appropriate skill, gender, and democracy, and the further transformation, it comes from the Basic Condition of Employment Act. That's where it comes from. That's where the basis of it. I recall that we debated for quite a while the Basic Condition of Employment Act. we are looking at the demographics. We talk about the race, we talk about the skin, we talk about the gender, but we say demographics. Well, at the end of the day, we talk about demographics, because at the end of the day, Kwazulu Natal is different from Western Cape. Western Cape is different than Northern Cape, and so on and so forth. If you talk about demographics, that's where it comes. I think the linkage of that two sentences comes from the basic condition of employment. Therefore, if you remove that, we are challenging the basic condition of employment, which is the Labour Act, which is an act. Therefore, we must look at that. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but we must look at that. Our debate must be looked at in the background of that.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Thank you. For this report. For this report and this department. You know, in recent time, historically, we integrated our forces in this country. Now, in line of that, we transformed. We brought them together, then we transformed. Regardless of race, gender, and all that. So, it will of course remain sensitive all the time, but I think members, we ought to accept that there must be a chance, as one has said, as Dentlof has said. We transform all the departments in the country. We don't want to see one group acting that way, one group another. We want to transform our society as a whole. Thank you, Chair. I think that is the message.
What I wanted from you is to clarify the issue. Now you have put the whole point of view.
Can I re-clarify it?
That's you know me, I don't want to let you know that you have presented your views, but I also want us to move forward. Because I wanted you to, that we must accept that we do have an opinion on a particular matter, but that's not the way to put it now, honorable member. It's more of a fundamental departure that I'm demanding of this college. It's not about the report itself. So, I mean, listening to what Jatundov said, it has been weighed against the point that we want to make. But let's give you one moment.
What? One more step.
Try again.
Let me just, picking up on the comments of the Honourable Sintangeni, be absolutely clear. We absolutely support that all racial groups should be represented in our defence force. That is a diverse defence force. That's a point of departure which I absolutely accept, and that is not at issue in the committee. But I would, as I said previously, be cautious about associating myself with the concept of representativity, which to me means that in each, let's say, job area, that each race, for example, must be represented as a proportion of representation or demographic representation in the population. There's a fundamental difference between representativity and diversity. And so perhaps I could propose a clause which would read something like the SAN, transform the SANDF into an appropriately skilled, and then we can work in the concept of diverse in terms of race and gender. I think that would certainly accommodate me and accommodate the views of most members on this committee.
See, I don't want us to hold on to this end, because we're going to be given a more longer explanation. And for me, it's more of a policy that you have decided in the party, but I don't want us to arrive at that level now. We'll actually be battling about setting our own. I want us to, because Babungo says, if you move it, it then interferes with other legislation. That is not, it's not a concept used in its own. That's the worry that I have. Now, you have not, your option has not helped me to move away from that. Can I give you?
Thanks,
I know you've been watching me very closely.
Mr. Chair, yeah, I don't think it is. The proposed amendment would be at odds with anything that is in other legislation, in my view. And I mean, for me to associate myself with demographic representativity is a problem, because the implication for me, and admittedly this is an understanding, my understanding is that that implies that we must have a defence force which is demographically representative of every group and every gender. In other words, the defence force must be 52% female, for example. Is that what we're working towards? I don't necessarily believe that's what a defence force should be. So I have a difficulty with it, which is a pity, because I think most of the rest of the report is I perfectly agree with. Yeah, but this one point I have a little bit of a problem with.
Yeah, but
let's deal with that in now, Chair,
I was listening to my brother here. If you go down to the sentence, to the next sentence, in this vein, which absolutely is the value of racial and gender representativity in relation to defense, doesn't that respond to what my brother is saying? I'm trying to put the contrast of what he has just said.
In
the amendment of what he said.
Okay.
In addition to what Ndlovu is saying, he doesn't talk of percentages. There's no percentages mentioned here. 52, 51, 41, 49, no. Merely saying the defense force must be representative of all racial groups in the country. I'm now and expanding it, you see. In terms of ability and operation, it doesn't talk of percentages. It doesn't say there should be 52% women and 48% males or whatever. It merely says they must be represented. It's not even say equally representative. Merely say the defense force must be representative. All racial groups must be seen to be part of the SANDF. What more do you want?
I'm not sure he was on the phone.
I'm opening the discussion is because we need to move in and understand each other. And also the concepts that we're using are very much important. That's why I'm allowing you so that you can understand. I mean, all South Africans say, whatever the defense is putting up as policy, we should be able to be common about it, according to the one that said. But also, behind it, the out-of-party policy. So, I must also listen to, how far we can handle this particular matter. But the Zubabundo, we have shown that it does have influence on other legislation that comes up. And that's a thin line I'm looking for. How do we get
there from here? I don't think here we should be over-simplistic. When we say to be representative, we don't mean people who are plumbers can be brought in into the IVCN Air Force, IVCN Wing, so that it is representative. Now, obviously, this is a specialized area. People will have to be trained. People will have to be skilled. But as it is, it's a pity that my request to the racial composition and gender composition was not answered to. But of course, from independent sources, from the SNDF, we felt that the Air Force and the engineering department are not as representative, for instance, as parenting. So now, surely I don't think honorable members should so oversimplify it that people will qualify by virtue of their gender, for instance, or by virtue of the pigmentation of their skin. I think that is over to this issue.
Well done, Mr. Chairman. I think the operative term here, in my view, are true. The sentence, if you look at the sentence, what we are actually looking for, we are looking for statistics.
Yes.
That is what the sentence is actually saying. A statistic which will actually give us some information about the race, the racial and gender composition of our defense force in line with, in order for us to get the progress that is being made in the transformation. So there are three major issues. Statistics that is needed to reflect the representativity of race and gender in order to assess progress that we have made thus far in the transformation of the system. So there are three issues. Representativity, statistics, and transformation. So we are not really talking about how transformation should actually take place.
Yeah.
We are looking for statistics.
Yeah.
Bring statistics here, and then we then talk about whether it is representative or diverse or whatever. So that is what we want in this sense.
That's right. Yeah, you are correct, that is, you know, because these are the questions raised by Utatum Pasha, you know, in the committee, in the portfolio committee, to say, where are the statistics? So it is not about the policies, it is more about information that has to be provided to help us to be able to arrive at, has there been any progress around us? So to take that one out is going to create a more bigger problem. It then makes this question to get out of the window. But it's a concern that all of us in the content, we do need that type of information, we do need those statistics, and they must reflect all these type of things. Then the next aspect of that and be showing that representativity. So that's the context of that thing. So if you read that representativity in isolation, then it's a two-part question. But if you read it within the context of this report, and within the context of the question posed, I think it reflects what is occurring in the community itself. And it will be unfair to remove it, because it is then saying that we have not picked up the issue that we have constantly asking the question of the community. It's in that context.
Chair, just once again, thank you for your comment. Let me respond. We absolutely do need a diverse defence force. That is not an issue. We do need the statistics in order to gauge progress in respect of gender and racial diversity in the defence force. That is not an issue. Can I propose then perhaps a way out of this conundrum by simply changing, if members look at the first sentence, by deleting represented and putting in diverse. So the sentence would read, the committee questions the pace and quality of the transformation of the SANDF into an appropriately skilled, gender and demographically diverse defence force.
You see,
my
only concern that I said to you, and honourable member, you know, captured properly. The question is, the report is about what will be asked from the members to do, and which is the department couldn't provide us that information.
Yes.
So the question was really originating from one member here. So if you want us to interfere with that question, I mean, it's really saying that we disregard what he has raised up as his own concern, and then we bring in your own particular. I don't want to write a spot in that. I don't know where we want to raise this issue of diverse without interfering with the report, because this is the report. So that we don't, because you see, each one of us as honorable members, we are adding value and quality to a report and how we reflect on it. You can see that it's even gone further. So the department didn't provide information. He's now beginning to phone the department from other sources to find information that. And he's now qualified his point by saying that since the department is dodging this particular question. So I would really persuade you that let's leave it here. And if you do want to raise the issue of that, let's keep it in this sense. Or you might not have raised it on a particular case.
Again, Chair, we do need a diverse defence force. As the member said, we do need the statistics. If the honourable member could live with diverse, perhaps the committee could live with diverse. I put it to the honourable member.
You see, now you are taking over the chairing of mine, you see, Mr. Joe. Don't be patient. Okay. Do you want to say something, honourable?
No. I think that's not temper with anything yet.
Yeah.
It has been accommodative on diverse. I think this committee is diverse enough.
Yeah.
But as far as it is concerned, let's not temper with it.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I want to move for the adoption of this because the way it's put, I think it's correct, it covers it.
No, that's fine. We'll come back.
Moreover, we are questioning this. We are questioning it, Chairman.
Honorable.
The committee questions this.
Okay, that's fine. Now that we go back to where Utakun Grobu was, the summary is it seems as if members would prefer to remain like that. So, just like that. But because you have raised earlier, just to raise that particular question, we then go and relook at the start of the report, see if there's anything that any other member would want to raise, and then we'll adopt the report. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. My objection.
The challenge with you is to continue engaging members. You know, that is going to be your responsibility in the committee. But of now, the think we must maintain and sustain it in the capital. Is there any other member who thinks that they've got a point anywhere in the report that they want to raise? Is there none in the...
It's just a general comment, which is not aimed at changing anything in the document.
Okay,
but the comment which actually says that one hopes that the establishment of the military president is actually a very good step in the right direction. And that with the passage of time, we will perhaps the committee also revisit again the definition of the military president. Because my worry is that perhaps we might not have cast our net wide enough to also accommodate other people who might want to define themselves as military presidents.
Yeah.
For Zamba, your FDUs, your FTUs, and so forth. So that perhaps at some stage we need to also look at that so that we shouldn't have a group of people who are sitting in the peripheries of things, you know, picking throwing stones at such a wonderful institution.
Mm.
Why are you saying that?
Hey, honorable Job.
I complained to this young man. He's looking at 30 years.
He's looking at me. You are looking at that man.
Not
me. Was looking at you. No.
If you go to page 10. Let's look at page 10, committee recommendation. And you look at 5.1, military veterans. If you look at the third block, who qualifies as military veterans? I think that question was posed by Dr. Mlange. Now we said also members in their own preparation beyond this one.
No, I'm covered.
You're covered. Yeah. You see, what is also going to happen beyond this one, beyond the budget vote, we are just preparing for the budget vote. We are going to take a full session on this thing on the military. The minister says he has given it to the deputy minister. So he will all be listening on Friday what they are saying to the attack. And then we'll take it up from there. We are going to get some food into this matter so that we can all be united around. And put an aspect of the issue. It's one opportunity that I have been approaching silently to say, come, so that we don't lose our
issue. Do you want to be a veteran?
No!
Okay.
depends on the definition that you got. You might not make it. You know?
Who, me?
Yeah, you know. You see? Oh, come on. I'm trying, you know?
You are trying. You guys are trying.
I'm not trying. I might not also make it. So that's why I'm saying, let's reopen this thing, you know, and check if everyone else. Or have you not been isolated from this particular diagnosis?
I don't
have any phone and drive. I know! He locked me up in the office and said, are you sure about this dismissal?
You must not be invited for that meeting.
So, Honorable, so everything that you have raised in the committee on that particular day, you think has been captured?
Yeah.
And we can now proceed and adopt the report. So we arrive at the end of the call. Are you adopting the report?
I propose that we we adopt this report.
Alright, fine. Any other one? Honorable, I think that's all that we wanted to do today. But there is a letter I think I'll give it to each of you. The letter comes from the Secretary of Defense in relation to combat readiness. So he has written a letter to me.
The private letter?
No, no, I can't have private letter. Okay. So I'm giving it over to you, Honorable Member, to have a look at it. We might be prepared to...
Oh,
it is
not too long.
I thought
somebody would
just be like, you can see it's like going over
there.
No, I want you to be Mr. Punisi.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to reflect on the letter in the next portfolio committee meeting. Go through properly. But I thought I would submit it to Honorable. And then Honorable will have a look at it. I don't want us to respond to this today.
One more.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I want us to have a look at this. We can talk about it, because it does raise some issues that are related to what we have been trying to do in Parliament. Yes.
If we have finished, I propose that motion.
Yes, I'm going to get there. I wanted to make sure that it's in every member. Are you fine, members? I'm just submitting to all of you. We'll have a look at it, and then we'll have a discussion.
Well, not today.
Not today. Not today. I don't want to open it. Today is the end of the report. And we'll have a candidate in full in the next arena. Are you fine? Okay, that's fine. Is there anything, Honorable Member?
What does PCD stand for?
Portfolio Committee.
Huh?
It's not military veterans, it's portfolio committee of defense. Members, let's agree that we have arrived at the end of the meeting on this one. Now I'm submitting it to you that this is how I've got it. Because I've asked for a written response to the department. Yeah. The ministry, I must say, she had explained the absence here. She was hoping to be here today, but she couldn't make it. She got some calls. She's looking to work very well with the portfolio committee. It is just that she's familiarizing at that all from the other part is the one that is contracting her in the department itself. I have spoken to her, she has spoken to me, she says she's quite ready to interact fully with the department, with the portfolio committee. The portfolio committee must not doubt the fact that she wants to work with you very closely. But the challenge is that she's still trying to familiarize herself around the area of the concerned.
Well, Mr. Chairman, although we are not discussing today in the letter, but I've already picked up, you know, very problematic, you know, things in the letter, in the sense that we are actually now deprived of this information on the basis that the principal of the letter.
Let's keep it there. Let's keep it there so that we'll have a good opportunity to debate. You see, principles also is to lay the basis of how we interact with the minister. We talk to each other. I don't want to consider a small issue where we just rush over. I want us to have a good debate. Just for the 5 years, as long as she's minister, how are we going to work with them? She's not been informed of how we would want to cooperate and work with them. I mean, we don't want, as I know from experience, we don't want to undermine the executive. But also the executive, from how she's talking to us, we don't want to undermine her. But let's find a way of how we want to operate together with them.
Chair, yes. Thank you for making the letter available. I know that you're anxious to close the meeting with the members who are anxious to move on to the EPCs. My view on this matter is well known, and I'm not going to reiterate it. I would just like your assurance, Chair, that we will, if you look at paragraph 6, where the department awaits the committee's response in respect of a closed or open briefing, that we will have an opportunity to debate this fully in our committee. You know that I stand for an open briefing on the FANDF, and I'd like my an opportunity to put that view forward in this committee.
In fact, this is the process. This is the fourth part, and I'm giving you the response of the department, so that when we arrive at point six, we all understand. As I'm saying, there are two issues: of how do we work with the minister or the executive, and how do we work with our work. We know for a matter of fact we are dealing with a very sensitive area and a sensitive arena in our department, which is the defense. So it's very much important that I then get a sense of how to want to work with each other. So that it's not my decision, it is not my correspondence about the feeding, but I'm bringing it to your attention so that you could go through the process and tell the department at this point.
Thank you, Chair. I intend to argue strongly that this briefing, which might embarrass the Minister, but it will not affect national security.
No, it's fine. I'll give you an opportunity.
We will discuss it when the time comes.
I will just come to you. It's a portfolio committee matter. We all take a decision.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, I'm sure the government.
Thank you.
I think a couple of hours.